It's the LRC. The podcast was a game. We be MVP. Knowledge is power. Lend an ear for the next hour. And tell these other whack podcasts to hit the showers. Cause we the best. Numero uno. We like a sumo. Up against the straw weight. Our content's great. We talking sports, pop culture, the squared circle and all. You shanky on the mic. Mixed with Jinder Mahal. And we some Paul Heyman's. Had enough that you can say when. Until then.
Champs are back for week eight. Eight. Just like the great eight. Kenny Pickett, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be talking a lot about him tonight in our pick show, tomorrow during the stairway. He's back, franchise quarterback, here to stay.
A lot of signs.
The talk of the town, everybody.
A lot of signs. Things are moving in the right direction there.
That's right. That is slowly but surely, Len.
And that direction is up. Up the stairway.
Up the stairway.
Yes, one step at a time.
Hey, let's relax a little bit. We got some other games. We got 15 other games, actually, to talk about. We got a full slate of NFL action. I always thought week eight was like the most popular bye week. I don't know why, but there's no teams on bye this week. It's a full schedule, 16 games. Looking back on last week, though, I came out with a 7-6 record. Len was 6-7. Webmaster came in at 4-9, so we've relegated him back to the server closet where he's running things digitally over there.
I feel like 6-7 seems low for me. Are you sure you double checked that right, Mike? It seems like I thought I beat you this week.
You had Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Detroit.
Yeah.
Big Vegas over Chicago.
I did.
You got Cleveland right. Got Buffalo wrong. You got the Red Hogs wrong. Tampa Bay, we all got wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You did pick the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good call there. You called that again.
Right. That one right. I'm on them.
Yep. You're reading them like some tarot cards here. We all picked Seattle. You picked Green Bay. You picked KC. You picked Philly. Me and Webb both picked Miami there. And we all picked San Francisco. One, two, three, four, six,
and
seven.
I thought it was seven. I thought I counted it seven.
It's very possible. I don't begrudge a recount request because you never know. You never know. But you know what?
Doesn't really matter. I'm still ahead for the season. That's really what matters.
This isn't the state of Georgia, Len. We'll recount all you want.
That's right. Well, everybody knows. If it comes in too late at night, it doesn't count. So, you know, that game last night, if it runs past like midnight, you can't keep counting. At a certain point, you just have to stop counting.
No. Well, I mean, you got to go around a couple days after and get all those drop boxes and, you know, all that too. That vote in person solves all that.
It
solves all that problem.
It does.
All right, Len. So that brings me to 52-39 on the year, and you at 56-35. So still a healthy game for a four-game lead for you, heading into week eight. So let's get at it, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
You got a couple teams coming off losses last week. This is a decent little Thursday game. No,
I don't like this game at all. No. This game stinks.
I don't know it. Both these teams are in the race for their division, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be playoff teams. Both two playoff teams going at it on Thursday night.
Maybe. I don't know. Both teams disappointed the hell out of me last week. The Bills barely got by the Giants 2 weeks ago. Then they blow this game against the Patriots, who looked like probably the worst team in the league coming into the week. The Bucs, you know, just have... They've fallen off. First couple weeks there, they looked okay. But Baker played okay. And now they're starting to really hit their stride as a terrible team. I don't know. I mean, I watched, honestly, basically the entire Saints-Jags game last night. I thought it was solid. This game here, there's a good chance I don't turn this game on at all. I don't really care about it at all, to be honest with you. But I will pick a winner, and I'm going to pick Buffalo. I just think they need to get back on track. They're a better team than the Bucs. I just think they're going to win this game.
Yeah, I don't like Tampa Bay. I mean, it's not snowing up there yet. I don't think it's going to be decent this weekend, but they're completely out of their element up there. In Orchard Park, the Bills are going to be pissed. There a lot of questions being asked of that team, and I really think they're starting to feel the losses on defense up there. Josh Allen isn't playing as well as he could be. But I still think they beat the Bucs. So we're both going to take Buffalo there. One thing I want to point out here about Thursday night, Len, is Al Michaels just needs to hang him up.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you. I'm glad you brought that up. Al Michaels mailing it in big time. Big time mailing it in. Okay. You can tell he's depressed. He lost Collinsworth, his buddy. And then I think he thought he was going to get Aikman there. There was a lot of talk before Aikman went to ESPN that he might join him on Amazon. I think Aikman would have probably kept him interested too. But Herb Street, while a great college announcer, just hasn't found his stride as an NFL announcer. To me, doesn't seem as familiar with the NFL players and games as he does college. And I think he's excellent at college, so it's just not really a good fit for him. And he, you know, is not helping get Allen to these games. And let's be frank, Al's in his 80s now. I mean,
what, he got a $75 million contract?
He's one of the best to ever do it, but like, some point, there's no shame in hanging it up, guys. You know what I mean? There's no shame in just being like, you know what? I did it all. I'm one of the best. My mom, for example, Betty, as you know, probably the greatest waitress of all time. I mean, she, you know, waited tables for over 60 years, you know, and, you know, she's 87 now. She, the beginning of COVID, we forced her into retirement to get away from people. And, you know, she was 83 years old. And still every day she talks about working. And I say, Mom, hang it up. It's fucking over. It's over for you. It's over for Al Michaels. Let's just move on to another phase of your life. If that phase includes doing absolutely nothing, that's fine. If you want to do something else, whatever. But you're not working anymore. And Al has so much money. Unlike Betty, he has a lot more money than she does. He needs to just hang it up and be done with it.
You know what? I say regardless of age, if you're done, just
be done.
Done.
I agree too. If I could be done, I'd be done.
Yeah.
If I could retire, it would happen as soon as, I mean, today, right now.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in working. You hear these people, oh, what would I do with my job?
But I hear it all the time.
Oh, my God.
You'd never know what to do. I know exactly what to do. Nothing. Nothing, nothing at all. Nothing. That's exactly what I would do.
I do not enjoy work to the point where I would feel the need to be there any longer than I have to. If I need to take a hit on my retirement or Social Security, so be it, people. You don't get any more time back in this life, and no amount of money is going to buy it. So just hang it up, whether you're 30, 40, I don't care if you can do
as soon as possible.
As soon as possible. Live in your parents' basement. Take our word for it. Just do it. Al is making the wrong calls. He's down at the 1 yard line. He's in the back of the end zone. He's all celebrating a touchdown.
Nobody. He wasn't even close to being out of bounds. Not even close to being out of bounds. He's like, are they going to mark him there? Now at the one? No, they're not going to mark him anywhere. Al, he's fucking been in the end zone. Don't even knock him anywhere near out of bounds.
Herb Street is just so milk toast.
Yeah.
And if he had the balls to correct him or kind of snip back at him or sarcastic with him, but he just has zero personality.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not. And also, I think he's probably just deferential to Al as well as being a legend. You know, I mean, I don't think he wants to really show him up or anything either. So,
yeah.
It doesn't fit. Yeah. It doesn't work.
It's not a good crew. No. Not a good crew at all.
Amazon needs something a little spicier for the crew anyway. Let's get a little bit more adventurous as your crew. Get somebody young in there. Maybe get somebody with some personality as the color guy. You have a little bit more freedom. You know, you're not on network TV. You're on a streamer. You can have a little bit more of a colorful call. We talked about this at work the one day, me and Weber, and, you know, they do alternate broadcasts, and I don't know how familiar you are with them, but the Barstool guys, PFT and Big Cat, I mean, those two would be great doing a game. If you got like those guys to do a game, it would be, even if it wasn't every game, you could do them one week and you could switch it up week to week, do some different people, try some stuff. I just think, you know, just to roll out the same old, and especially when it's Al and he's just not feeling it. You can just tell he's not feeling it. I feel bad for him, honestly. I feel bad for him. He's making so much money, but I feel bad for him because you know he's not enjoying himself. He just doesn't seem to be at all.
Yeah, he's more concerned about the betting lines and stuff, I think, than he is about the game. But
Yeah,
I don't know. I'll probably tune into this one to see what's going on, but I don't have a huge vested interest in it. And honestly, it could go either way. I could see Buffalo just get in kind of a tailspin here because they're just not quite right, but I do think they'll get it together by the end of the year. Definitely missing Tre'Davious White, Matt Milano.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to start to wear on them a little bit. But all right, Len, we're on to the next one here. We got the Houston Texans visiting the Carolina Panthers.
Mm-hmm. Battle of the two top young quarterbacks here that were drafted, 1 and 2.
Couple of expansion teams.
You know, Houston's looked pretty solid. I mean, obviously Stroud's been outstanding. The team is, on the whole, really has overachieved at this point. Panthers look like a team starting a rookie quarterback, and you know, Thielen's tried to do his best to help him along. You know, it's what you expect from these two teams, but Houston's looked like the better team at this point so far, for sure.
I mean, to me, I think C.J. Stroud looks like a franchise quarterback already, and Bryce Love is
young.
Who's Bryce Love?
I don't know. Running back? Should be somebody.
Bryce Young is looking more like Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
It just kind of, I think he'll figure it out eventually. I don't know if he's.
Yeah, I think Young's all right. I'm not worried about Young. I think he's got everything there. It's just, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time to build around him and figure out things around him. But I think he's going to be fine. Stroud looks like he's definitely more prepared. But I thought Stroud was the better pick coming into the draft either way. So I'm not surprised. But I am surprised by how well he's played overall. I'm going to take Houston, though, again. Although this is the kind of game that Carolina could sneak out. You know, they have zero wins. They don't have their own pick this year, so there's no reason to tank. They're, you know, they can win in whatever because they're going to lose that pick to the Bears either way. So, you know, this, if they're going to win any games, this is probably one they have circled, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. I saw the standings pop up during one of the games last week, and it was hard for me to believe the Panthers don't have a win yet, but they in fact don't. So I'm going to take the Texans too. I know our boy Matty Funk is keenly interested in the Texans and how we portray them here on this show and on the stairway. And I will give him credit. They've overachieved so far this year, and they look like they're well coached and they're kind of set up well for the future after coming off a bad couple years there, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So we're both taking the Texans there. Moving on to a couple fraud teams here, Len. They're not fraud. LA Rams. I don't call them a fraud. Dallas, I think, is a fraud. Honestly, I'm going to take the Rams in this one. They lost to our Steelers last week, but they were still able to do kind of what they wanted to in the passing game for the most part. Running back situation, they got by. Even Kyren Williams has had a good season.
He's on IR now.
Yep.
They had Daryl Henderson and Royce Freeman brought up as their two running backs like it's 2017, but it's in fact 2023. Puka Nacua lit up the Steelers. Unfortunately, Brett Maher did not, and he has now been released. So they'll have a new kicker this weekend because Maher didn't come through in the time needed. You know, I don't think either of these teams are frauds. To me, the Rams have actually overachieved. They look better than I thought. The Cowboys are about exactly what I thought, which is pretty average, but, you know, decent. I'm going to take the Cowboys.
I'm going to take the Rams in this one, too. I'm going to take the Rams. I believe I said that already, but I do think the Cowboys are a fraud team. I don't think they're as good as their record shows. Something about it, the offense just isn't clicking. Look for them to maybe be a player for playoff Lenny. Could be a destination, and the Cowboys kind of
bring back. Yeah, I think I believe I mentioned this earlier. I've mentioned it here and there, if not on the mic, off the mic. I think you see the missing Zeke. I mean, Pollard misses Zeke. The Cowboys miss Zeke. Pollard's been okay, but he's not the kind of guy that you can just feed the ball. And Zeke took a lot of that wear and tear off of him, where he could be, you know, kind of another guy coming in and getting them with fresh legs. They've missed that a little bit, so I'm not surprised by that. But they could use another back in there. Rico Dowdell really hasn't, you know, proven to be the backup that they hoped yet.
So. Yeah, they just need that 1-2 punch. That Texas Coast offense that they run is really based on the run. It just seems like they could get Pollard out in space a little bit more rather than running between the tackles and kind of capture that lightning that he had last year. Who knows? Maybe they trade for Zeke if the Patriots lose. This is the trade deadline week, right? Or is that next week?
I'm not sure. That's a good point. Probably this week or next, I would say. I don't know exactly which one.
Yeah. Interesting reunion. A lot of interesting things happening already. You saw the Eagles trading for Kevin Byard, which is
a big move.
Just giving them all the good
players. Titans just give them whoever they want, pretty much.
Yeah. Pick up the phone. You never know what the other team's going to say. Howie Roseman's doing a good job there. All right, Len, we got a big NFC North matchup here in Lambeau Field. We got the Vikings and the Packers. This used to be a big game. This one, I don't know. Vikings coming off a huge upset where they just really surprised the hell out of the 49ers last night and Monday night. And the Packers just packing it in, sort of. You know, nothing really exciting about that team. Jordan Love started off the season good, now not so much. Offensive line is in shambles. They got a lot of young players there on either side of the ball. I'm going to take the Vikings in this one. Len, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd had hopes for Green Bay coming into the year. I'd had hopes for Jordan Love. I picked him to win the division. That looks like a really bad pick right now. You know, Love did get them the lead late there against the Broncos, but they gave it back. You know, I don't know. He's just not hitting yet. And I'll tell you, the line is a major issue. I mean, he's not getting a fair shake. Unfortunately for him, like a lot of guys, it's going to come back on the quarterback regardless of all that. And they might be just done with him before he really gets a fair shake. Who knows? It's hard to say. But Minnesota, a team that's been just putrid this year, pretty much. I mean, they before last night, all their games were one score games. They were 2-4 in one score games. And, you know, last night they pull off the upset. They beat San Francisco, but again, a one score game, an 8-point win for them. So it's, again, every game comes down to one score. And I assume the same will happen Sunday. I think it'll be a one score game again. I'm going to take Minnesota as well based on last night's performance only. I'm just going to, you know, Addison looked outstanding last night, stepped right in, made some humongous plays. Kirk, say what you want about Kirk. He's a pro. He gets the job done. He puts numbers up all the time. Yep. I'm going to take Minnesota as well.
Yeah, Kirk gets a bad rap. Be interesting to see. House has been kind of teasing possible trade, but they're right back in the thick of it.
Yeah, it seems like the word on the street is he's not going to waive his trade clause, no trade clause, so he is not going to get traded. But a lot of teams could be in the market for him if he were. You know, you would think certainly the Jets would be one that would be under consideration at least, but also a few others that, you know, teams that are teetering here that could use him. He could help some team. I mean, the Browns at this point.
He could help a lot of teams.
You know, there's teams out there that he could push to the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's the kind of guy that once he puts down roots, you're not getting him back up.
Yeah, he'll probably live in Minnesota the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Seems like the kind of guy that's just going to be there rest of his life.
He's a family man for sure. High value guy, high morals. He's staying around if he can. He don't have no passion moving. Like I said, they're kind of right back in the picture now, 3-4. What are they, is that three in a row for them?
Yeah.
They were 0-4.
I'm not sure, but they got 3-4, and then they got, if they can maybe this week like we predict, they'll be 4-4. Detroit coming off a loss. Obviously, they have two losses. So, you know, all of a sudden, that division's not necessarily a runaway yet.
Yeah, I'm trying to look back to see what they did the week thing. The week before, obviously. I don't know. Two in a row, at least, we'll call it.
Yeah.
New Orleans, Len, visits Lucas Oil Stadium. Gardner Minshew had a nice little game last week, but they fell short to the Browns on a last-second touchdown. But they were in it the whole way, and Minshew,
he does what he did. And, you know, this is the thing. Everybody's, Minshew had a good game. He had 300 yards, and he had three touchdowns, and he did all those things. But he also had four turnovers, and he lost the game because that's what he does. He's a fraud, plain and simple. He's a fine backup. If he has to come in a game or two, games like this, fine. He puts up numbers. He might win you one of these, two of these. He's going to win a couple games for sure. He'll play some good games. But overall, he's not a starting quarterback. He's not a real quarterback. I mean, he's a fraud, but he's a good backup. That's what he is. And he's just like Fraud Patrick, Ryan. Same player, basically. And, you know, everyone gets all hyped, and they say how he could be starting for 12 teams. And that's true. He could be starting for 12 teams, and he'd be 6-10 for 12 teams. Like, whatever he would be. Who gives a shit? He's a fine fill-in. That's what he is. He played an okay game, but lost the game ultimately because he had four turnovers. So, you know, the Saints are a team with milk toast quarterback of their own in Derek Carr. And this is the matchup I talked about it. Well, they talked about it on the Funkhouse with the Crazy Legs, because me and him had text back and forth, because he wanted to pick up Minshew. He had Carr as his third quarterback in the two quarterback league, and he picked up Minshew. He said Minshew's probably better than Carr. I said that's fucking hearsay and nonsense. He's not better than Carr. Carr's proven time and time again he's better than Minshew, and he is. But then he texted me and said, when's the last time Carr had four touchdowns? And I said, when's the last time Carr had four turnovers? You know what I mean? These guys, it's the same thing. I think Carr's a fraud, basically. I like the Saints. I picked them coming into this year. I'm going to pick them to win this game as well. But Carr hasn't been great, for sure. And the Colts aren't great either. I mean, this is just a shitty game.
Yeah, this is a coin toss game. But I'm going to take the Colts because I got to make up some ground on you. And I think them being at home with Minshew, Myles Garrett just wrecked that game against him. So it's hard to blame him too much for that. But
ball security, yeah, so Mike. ball security is important.
I feel like Minshew lives in a land somewhere in between better than a backup but not as good as a starter. If that makes sense.
He's a good backup, a top backup for sure, but not a starter. But could he start for 10 or 12 teams? Sure he could. Could he start over a bunch of guys? Of course he could, but he wouldn't win any games. Yeah. He wouldn't win a bunch of games. He'd start. That's it. That's all it is.
All right, moving on here. We got the Patriots visiting the Dolphins. The Patriots may get two big upsets in a row, Len. What do you think?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Dolphins coming off a loss, tough loss to the Eagles. Some real suspect officiating in that game. Not that I think it cost them the game necessarily. I think the Eagles were the better team on the field as well, but they also were aided by some real questionable calls. However, the Dolphins, I just feel like the Dolphins are going to score more points than the Patriots are capable of scoring to keep up with them, so I'll take the Dolphins.
Yeah, I'll take the Dolphins too at home in this one. Jalen Waddle a little bit banged up perhaps. They couldn't get the running game going very well last week, but they'll recover here against if Belichick can get win number 301 in Miami. Then
I mean, yeah, Miami's always given them issues when they were good. Maybe he can give Miami issues when the Dolphins are good. Yeah, possibly.
All right, Len, the battle of MetLife Stadium, the Big Apple. Jets at Giants. Mm-hmm. Both teams at home here.
Yeah,
what do you think?
This is an interesting one. Tyrod Taylor stepped in, played pretty well for the Giants here, got him a win this last week. He's played tough against the Bills as well in the loss. I'm a guy that's always said, to me, Tyrod Taylor's a guy that's never really got a fair shake to me. And he's had some starting opportunities here and there, but the teams were quick to give up on him. And he's probably in the same way Minshew is. He's probably a really good backup who could start for 10 or 12 teams, but those 10 or 12 teams don't want him as their starter. They want a young person as their starter, or they want, you know, whatever. So I like Tyrod. I have a lot of respect for him as a pro quarterback. He plays hard, plays the game well, but I think the Jets' defense is a little bit too good in this situation, so I'm going to take the Jets here to win this game.
Okay, I'm going to take the Giants, actually. I got to wonder if they didn't re-sign Daniel Jones, if there would be a quarterback controversy, because I think Tyrod looked more than serviceable.
Oh, for sure he did.
He's deep pass, he's activating some of those receivers, Hyatt, Slayton, we'll see. I think.
Yeah, I mean, in a short, small sample size, these guys look better than the starter, you know, and it's common. But also, if he was in there this whole season at this point, his numbers probably wouldn't look as good. You know what I mean? If, you know, then there's games in there like the game where Jones was sacked 11 times by Seattle. I don't think that was a lot of Jones's fault. I think that was mostly offensive line issues, and I think if Tyrod's in there, he's probably getting sacked 9 times instead of 11, but it's still not a lot better. So I just think, you know, small sample size, it's easy to jump on these guys. Not that I think Daniel Jones is anything special, but I just think, you know, Tyrod's who he is. He's where he is, where he is. Well, and he'll play tough, though. I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants won this game. This game is a coin toss game.
I'm not sure if Tyrod is going to play. Jones may be back.
Okay. Well, yeah.
We'll see. Either way.
I'm going to take the Jets, and you're going to take the Giants, regardless of who's quarterback.
It's the Battle of New York.
Yeah.
Do they just keep the NFL logo at center field, I wonder?
Well, this year they've been doling the home team instead of the NFL, so they'll probably have the – I think the Giants are officially the home field team, right?
Probably just keep, make it NFL, I would say.
They should just put a picture of the Twin Towers at center at midfield. You know, New York City, the commemorative photo, 9/11, never forget, maybe a picture of the Twin Towers there.
I would put one tower in each end zone.
Okay, or possibly the Statue of Liberty right at the middle field.
There you go.
That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be. Empire State Building.
Empire State Building.
Just how about just a big apple?
Just a big apple would be cool, actually. Yeah, I'd like that.
Get that apple from Shea Stadium.
Yeah, the bite out of it.
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting. That, they should do something different that there.
Stadium is the most milquetoast stadium ever for being in New York City. It's just looks like a stadium that was built in the
80s. Because it's not in New York City. It's in New Jersey. It's in Meadowlands. That's of course.
Yep. All right, Len. We got a big rivalry game this week for us. Len, your Jags, my Steelers, 5-2, 4-2.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I got to keep it going here. With the sort of RJ,
the RJ approach. Of course you do, yeah.
That I've taken. I can't in good conscience take the Steelers. I think they're just baby steps. But the Jaguars are also kind of taking a bigger step each week. Lawrence looked great despite the injury worries last week. He was running the ball all over the place. I don't know if they'll get Zay Jones back for this game or not. So their offense is rounding for him. ETN's got 2 touchdowns in 3 straight games. Right, he'll be looking to make it. He's going to run all over the Steelers. It's going to be ugly. In good conscience, I can't take the Steelers at home, but do your thing.
Yeah, I think this is a game here. I think Jacksonville has been improving every week, and they are playing better. You know, the fantasy nerds like Weber and House, those guys, anybody that has Lawrence, probably not happy because Lawrence – isn't putting up big fantasy numbers. He's not throwing the touchdowns because ATN's getting a lot of the touchdowns. But Lawrence has played well. He's been improving. The one area that I do have some concerns with him, is similar to my boy Gino, is the pocket presence. He seems to take sacks and hold the ball a little bit long, and he'll make one or two really bad throws a week. And that right there is what concerns me against the Steelers, at Pittsburgh in particular. If this was in Jacksonville, I would take the Jags, but it's in Pittsburgh. Renegade's going to be blaring hard about the end of that third quarter. And, you know, as much as I despise the Steelers, TJ Watt's a guy that I, you know, have to have the utmost respect for. He's one of the best defensive players in the league. He makes plays after play, an unbelievable interception this past week. Just a great play. I think he'll get Lawrence once or twice, probably strip him at least once for a strip sack fumble. Could be a touchdown. Who knows? I think the Steelers win this game.
Okay. Right on schedule.
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, these games are they're getting these matchups of quarterbacks that are susceptible to pass rush, and their pass rush is legitimate. And you know, Porter's coming along. They got the sack from Herbig this week, so they're getting some other pieces coming in there. And the offense, which has been putrid and was putrid again for the first half, they're seeming to find a way in the fourth quarter. And the one thing I always said about Pickett, even if he hasn't been great, is he does seem to have some moxie when it comes to the end of games.
End of
games. And that is an important aspect of playing quarterback. I don't care if it's real or not. When those quarterbacks have that moxie and the team believes in him at the end of games, they really do seem to believe him in the end of games. It's a real thing. So
yeah,
I think they're getting rolling that way.
Yeah, if he could just start the game, you know, more efficiently. That would be a big boon for the offense. But you're right.
I don't know what the numbers look like, but it seemed in the bounce I watched, the running game looked more healthy with Warren and Harris. Both looked to run the ball a little bit more. Obviously, Warren ran the touchdown in. I don't know what the rushing numbers looked like, but they seemed a little more effective to me.
Yeah. Najee might have been wearing some joggers of some type this week. A little bit more loose.
He looked good on that touchdown run. Warren looks, of course, explosive in his time in there. They got rid of Olszewski, and Austin almost cost him that game with a punt on that one punt return, bobbled that punt return. So he, you know, that, luckily he was able to hold on because that was right down there at the end of that game. But, yeah, I don't know. They're you know, the Steelers just find ways to win games, and they're right there. I think this will be a tight game.
Yeah.
I think this will be a good game, and I just think the Steelers are going to end up pulling it out.
Lawrence is kind of a, I hate to say it, he's kind of a pretty boy with his hair, and, you know, he's just well put together.
He is.
Very handsome. Is he ready for that?
But I'll tell you what, though. I'll say this about Lawrence. You're right about that, looks-wise. But he plays hard, man. He runs.
Does. He does.
He dives for first downs. He isn't afraid to take a hit here and there. You know, he plays the quarterback position very well, but they're a little, still only, you know, in his second year, whatever, third year. So he's got these little things where he can still improve at. And I think pocket presence is one, and just making one or two questionable throws per game that end up getting picked or close, or he gets away with it.
I mean, that's a learning curve for a young quarterback. He's going to mature into it. You know, it's some of these quarterbacks like Mahomes and Allen just burst on the scene, Hurts.
Yeah.
And we kind of lose sight of kind of what it takes to be a quarterback.
Sometimes. Yeah. And Lawrence last year, I mean, he took the huge step last year, but really the second half of last year, this first half of this year, it's started a little slow again, but he's starting to round into form. It seems like I expect the same, where he's ramping up. But this is a tough matchup for him.
It is. It's going to be an interesting game for sure. And I might change my pick tomorrow on the stairway. So tune in to find out.
With your whole family, it's real hungry. Just pick up the phone and call Napoli's, where you can get the pizza.
Or the salads.
Or the stromboli.
Or the pasta.
Or the calzones.
Or the fish sandwich.
Or the pepperoni.
Or chicken wings.
How about the hot pepper cheese balls?
Or a special steak.
Call 375-0140 and feed your familia right tonight with Napoli's.
Forget about it.
All right, the champs are back after that word from the big Steelers fans at Napoli's Pizzeria. Len, and that brings us to a football game of the week. The Falcons at the Titans. Who you got in this one, Len?
Yeah, this game is stupid. Nobody cares about this. I think I just read before I came out that we're going to get a combination of Willis / Levis if Tannehill's able to go. So, at the very least, we'll get to see those guys instead of Tannehill, because I'm sick of seeing him. Ritter's been horrendous turnover-wise, but still just keeps his team afloat somehow. I'm going to go Titans here, though. I think they win this game.
I'm going to go with the Falcons in here. I do like them as a team. We'll see if Bijan Robinson can get over his sickness. I do like Arthur Smith as a coach. He doesn't give a fuck about your fantasy team or anything like that. He's got a nice mustache going on. All that adds up to a Falcons win on the road in Nashville. All right, Len, we got the Birds. Big trade for Kevin Byard. Just giving him all the good players. We talked about it earlier. Howie Roseman wants something. He just calls up and he gets it from you for pennies on the dollar. They get an all-pro safety. That's where they needed help. He addresses the issue. There's talk about maybe they get Ndamukong Suh back. Who knows? They're not done adding pieces probably. Anyways, they go to the Red Hogs, and they're going to cause torment for Sam Howe all day. I'm taking the Eagles in this one. Do you agree?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Eagles too. Sam Howe has had no protection from that offensive line. It's been putrid. 40-some sacks. You know, he hasn't even been given a chance, really, to succeed. Dawson's been a big disappointment to me. Seems like he drops the ball every time I watch them play. So I'm going to go Eagles. I think that I feel bad. I'd be surprised if Howe makes it through this game, and I wouldn't be surprised if Rivera coaches another game after this game. This could be the end of him as well, in my opinion. This is going to get ugly.
Yeah, he was real upset the last game with the referees, saying they screwed him over 2 years in a row. I've never seen him really that animated. He was a mean guy when he played for the Bears, right? He was a real nasty, gritty guy, but he seems like a real kind of nice, kind of loving guy, but lately just kind of angry, just kind of irritated. Maybe it's time for him to hang him up.
Much like we talked about earlier, hang it up when it's time to hang it up, guys.
That's right. You know? Just quit. Quiet quit. Quit outright. Quit. Whatever you want to do. Yeah.
Just give
up. Just give up.
Just give up.
Now, Len, your Seahawks have an interesting one this week. The Cleveland Browns, their quarterback situation up in the air. Deshaun Watson, is he in the game? Is he not? Is he pass protocol? Is he not? Do the Browns even care at this point? Are they already having buyer's remorse? That big guaranteed contract doesn't matter. He can walk away anytime he wants. Knocked out of the last game. It looks like I don't know if he's going to play. I don't know if they're going to go to PJ Walker. They're going to trade for Jacoby Brissett. Either way, they have a tough task in Seattle. Len, where I hear there's something special happening in Seattle this week with the Seahawks. What do you want to tell us about that and who's going to win this game?
Yeah, I mean, the Seahawks, the big thing, the big news this week is throwback week. They're breaking out the throwback uniforms for the first time in forever since they switched the uniforms. They've never wore these throwbacks, so I'm excited about that. I love these uniforms. I'm super excited. That gives me all the enticement I need to pick Seattle, despite uneven performance against the Cardinals, I would say, at best. Their defense has really improved the last few weeks, and it continued that against Arizona, but the offense has been moving the ball, but sputtering in the red zone quite a bit. And Geno has been one of the main culprits there with some costly turnovers in the red zone. Another one this week. They need to get that figured out. He needs to get back to protecting the ball as he was at the beginning of last year, the first half of last year. But in this game, you know, obviously this is a tough one. The Browns are going to be tough. Miles Garrett's going to strip sack Geno once or twice, almost guaranteed. And we'll just hope Seattle falls on it. That's my only hope. I think I'm going to take the Seahawks, but you know, the Browns, it doesn't really matter who plays quarterback if the defense plays like that. And PJ Walker can get the job done if he needs to. Deshaun, I don't know what's going on with him. It's getting more curious every week, but really what's happening there. So I just think it's going to be a battle, but I'll take Seattle.
Yeah, I'm going to take Seattle too at home just because of the quarterback situation. They're also down Jerome Ford, their running back. I do think it's going to be a good game though, offense versus defense sort of thing. And I just want to point out too, I kind of disrespected Myles Garrett and I take that back now. He really affected the game against the Colts. What he had, 2 forced fumbles, 2 sacks, a blocked field goal. I mean, just all over the place. So big credit to him. And he's in the defensive player of the year conversation, probably just behind TJ Watt in the AFC. All right, the Baltimore Ravens. Another bird game here, Len. The Ravens, and they are traveling out west to visit the Cardinals. The Ravens took our LRC Lions to task, and Josh Dobbs, the Pastronaut, you could say, he's coming back down to earth, Len. Who do you got in this one?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Ravens. The Ravens beat up on the Lions. Really good performance from Lamar. You get one of those every once in a while, and you'll get a dud here and there as well. But I think in general, the Ravens are just far superior to the Cardinals in talent, and I just don't think there's any way they're going to lose this game.
Yeah, I'm taking the Ravens too. No questions asked. Although this could be one of those ones that just comes out of nowhere and the Cardinals win. I wouldn't be surprised. It feels like one of those trap games. I do think the Cardinals have a decent coach, a decent team. They've kind of already surpassed my expectations on the year. I thought they were going to be trash. We'll see though. But the Ravens coming off that big win against the Lions, it's hard to bet against them. KC at Denver, do we really need to say much here, Len, other than Taylor Swift is driving the team bus at this point? And it'll be interesting to see if she shows up at Mile High. You think she'll show up at Mile High, Len?
I don't know. It seems like she's there almost every week at this point. The only week she's missed was that, like we said, in Minnesota, and you can't blame her there. But I think, you know, Denver seems like a nice city that she would like to appear in. I think she's going to be there. Okay. I think they're, you know, Kelsey's averaging over 100 yards when she's there, under 50 when she's not. I mean, she won the box office again this week for second week. All she does is win. Really, she's probably doing a remix with DJ Khaled because all she does is win. All he does is win. I don't know. I just think as long as she's on the train, the Chiefs are going to be a handful. And those kids are in love, man. It's a true love story.
Man, Deborah Norville called it how many weeks ago? They are a thing. It is confirmed. There's no questions asked at this point.
Yeah.
And KC's going to wipe the floor with Denver in Denver.
Yeah.
Even though the Broncos had a big win last week, and Sean Payton's still searching for that perfect game because he's a psychopath.
Perfect game and sushi. Still searching for sushi, you know, too. He can't find it.
He's buying sushi and doesn't even like sushi. Just a weirdo. All right, here, Len, storied match in a couple different Super Bowls. As everybody knows, the Bengals and the Niners have faced off in the big game a couple different times in the 80s, and they meet again when what should be an interesting game on Sunday afternoon here in the East Coast. This will be a 4 o'clock game, I'm sure. The Niners coming off a couple disappointing losses for a team of their caliber. Brock Purdy may be coming back down to earth a little bit, and the Bengals seem like they're getting warmed up, warming to the task. The contender that people thought they would be. Who do you got in this one, Len?
Yeah, so Bengals won two in a row. Niners lost two in a row. They obviously matched up in Super Bowl 16 and Super Bowl 23. A couple good matchups. And this is a potential Super Bowl preview here as well. It could be. You know what? I'm going to go to Cincinnati here in a little bit of an upset. I think they're starting to round into shape. Burrow had an extra week off with the bye. Maybe hopefully that calf is feeling even better. And T. Higgins has a week to get healthier as well. Yeah, I just think the Bengals need this win. I think they're going to get it.
The Bengals have beaten the Niners once in the last 20 years, and they are going to fall this Sunday, even though the Niners are going to be missing Debo Samuel. McCaffrey's a little bit banged up still. Some question marks around that team, but I think they rebound at home. This one, probably the game of the week, one of the games of the week for sure, one of the better games on the slate. All right, Len, these two teams, Sunday Night Football, we might not be waiting all day for this one. We got Tyson Bagent visiting the L.A. Chargers, the ever-disappointing Justin Herbert and the L.A. Chargers. This is going to be an interesting game. Maybe Bagent comes out on the national stage, Len. Maybe he makes a statement, says, I'm here. Forget Justin Fields. I'm an arm wrestling champion. I am a big arm guy. The team believes me. I have nice hair. And they're buying in. Fields, a lot of questions. He was starting to warm up, but then he got injured. Is Bagent ever going to give this job back? I'm going to take the Bears in this one in a little bit of an upset, maybe, in L.A. It just feels like a Bears win, and this is going to be Bagent's coming out party. What do you think? You agree?
You know, this is an interesting one. Who do you think would win an arm wrestling match, Bagent or Herbert, if they had to just arm wrestle to decide this game?
Well, I mean, Bagent has the experience, Len, but I hear that we were talking a little bit earlier about Bagent, right? And he kind of maybe has some emotional, mental scarring from the...
Yeah, I mean, Bagent's a guy that hasn't had an arm wrestling match since he was 9 years old, according to my sources. Lost in front of his whole youth football team and left in tears in an arm wrestling match. He was previously undefeated before that, lost that one, and never arm wrestled again. So, meanwhile, Herbert, the losingest quarterback since he's came into the league. So, a couple losers going at it. But Badger 1-0 is an NFL quarterback.
That's right.
And that's what we're really talking about here. However, I'm going to take the Chargers here. Reluctantly. I don't like what I'm seeing from either of these teams. I just feel like the Chargers are a little more talented than the Bears, so I'm going to take them and just hope they win this game.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think this is Bagent's coming out party. He's going to say, Justin Herbert, I have nicer hair. It's not as greasy. Yes, I was embarrassed as a child in an arm wrestling match at my pizza party at the roller skating rink, but that's because my dad is a big meanie, and if they were to arm wrestle, then Bagent would win because arm wrestling is, they say, it's like riding a bike. You know, you just hop right back on, and he would overcome those fears, and who knows? Maybe we'll see that at, like, halftime, or maybe we'll bring them both out and have a little exhibition. Maybe they'll be shown his dad in the crowd. Probably they'll probably have a nice graphic, an arm wrestling type graphic maybe of them, arm wrestling, and it'll be like, you know, Herbert's won so many games, but he's also lost, and then his arms will be going back and forth in a real weird animation, you know, maybe something like that. Who knows? Virtual arm wrestling match.
All right, that Sunday night game, a big stinker. When do those flex games start? I'm not sure.
Yeah, right. This could be a nice flex week.
Monday night is going to be a get right game for our LRC Lions, whether it's AOC or Brian Hoyer. It's going to be the Lions coming out on top at home, I think, in a little bit of a rebound game. What do you think, Lem?
Yeah, Lions. I like the Lions here. The Raiders obviously made the wrong choice by going right with Hoyer last week. I don't know if they're going to do that again, if we're going to see Jimmy G, or if we're going to get radical and go left, all the way left with AOC. AOC is the right choice to lead this team. AOC is the right choice to lead America. AOC is the right choice all around. But Josh McDaniels is a nincompoop. So he has no idea what to do. And he is on his last legs as an NFL head coach. I can assure you that. So I'm going to say the Raiders, no matter who they roll out there, even AOC can't overcome LRC. That's the living room champs, Lions. So I'm going Lions.
What do you think? Do you think Dan Campbell is a left leaner or a right leaner, Len? I could see him going either way. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what, Mike. I had to put money on it. I would go right. I would go right, and I'd go right hard for Dan Campbell.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure. Don't get me wrong. I hate to you know, just paint someone with a broad brush. Yeah. But you know, he seems like to me, he seems to me like a guy that would be a right wing guy. I'm not sure. I don't think he's so far right that he's part of the Trump cult necessarily. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I feel like if it was just a straight race left or right, I feel like he'd be a right leaning guy. But he does strike me as a guy smart enough that he maybe jumped off the Trump train.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That would be my assessment.
He's posting on Du Bois Live, not GoDuBois.com, the QAnon
right.
website. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the left side of the aisle. He's not AOC left, for sure. He's more of a moderate, for sure.
There's not a lot. I mean, if there's any head coach in the NFL that's AOC left, there's two guys I would say that are AOC left. One of them, of course, is my beloved Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
I think he's certainly an AOC-er, if anything. And then the other would be Mike McDaniel of the Dolphins. I feel like he would be a big lefty if I had to guess.
Tomlin would be, too. Tomlin would be.
Tomlin would probably. Tomlin's the kind of guy that could go either way, I feel like, a little bit.
Yeah.
But I do think he'd probably lean left a little bit. I don't know if he'd go all the way AOC left.
Yeah.
But I think he'd be left leaning. He's probably Biden left. I don't know if he's AOC left.
I'd be interested to ask him, see what kind of Tomlinism he would come up with.
I mean, I would love to have a poll of all 32 head coaches.
Yeah, that would be great.
That would be awesome. I would just love to know. It'd be interesting.
Yeah. Well, Len, that's the NFL slate. On the wrestling front, our girl, Hollywood Haley J. Holly Hood, if you're listening, we're coming for you. We're coming to interview you. We're coming to Louisville, Kentucky.
And yeah.
We're going to see an OVW show now that you're a big star on Collision. We still hope to spend some time with you and maybe your boyfriend's car, maybe your apartment. But she did have a nice match on Collision. She lost, Len, unfortunately, but she got the exposure. What else is going on? We got Halloween Havoc. In fact, we got to get to that. We had a little technical difficulties, if you're wondering. Len's in his mobile office, so we had to re-record a little bit of the show here.
Yeah, I was in the living room. Now I've had to move to my mobile office to get to re-record the second half here. But, we got, some stuff going on. Obviously, Crown Jewel coming up just less than 2 weeks away. You got the Tribal Chief putting the title on the line for the first time since WrestleMania. And he's going to go one-on-one with the hottest star in the business, LA Knight. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that'll be interesting. Not much of that card's been rounded out. There's a five-way women's match, Rhea, Nia, Zoe Stark, Raquel Rodriguez, and Shayna Baszler for the Raw women's title. That got made official last night by the contract signing. That'll be a fun match, I think. I'm into that. Heavy hitter. And Damian Priest versus Cody Rhodes. Those are the three matches I think that are official for that show so far. Now, like you said, though, we got Halloween Havoc night one tonight, obviously, in NXT, which is our baby, so we're excited about that. And Hollywood Haley J, OVW. We got to plan the road trip. Maybe me, you, maybe Don Dawson will tag along. I think that'd be a fun trip down there. Catch an OVW show. Maybe get a couple of people on tape. Yep. With a couple of squared sofa interviews. And maybe smoke some marijuana with Hollywood Haley J. If we're lucky.
Who knows what we'll get into? I'll bring a little handheld recorder like the olden days. We'll get an interview with Al, maybe Mr. Pectacular. Who knows? Who knows who we'll get to spend time with?
Maybe some new people we're not even familiar with yet. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you never know. It'd be a fun time no matter what. And it's wrestling season's just starting to heat up here as we get ready to turn the calendar. And that's when it really hits with the Rumble and Mania. So we got a lot of wrestling talk coming up. We got our rebooking, re-gimmicking, whatever you want to call it, randomizer show coming up where we're going to get CM Nick, Don Dawson, Len and I on. Reach going to get two superstars from the main roster and one bonus NXT superstar, which is kind of a clean slate. We get to turn whatever we want. We're going to randomize them, and we're going to re-gimmick them. That's coming up. You look forward to that. And a lot more wrestling talk here as we really start into Mania season again and things start to heat up. So, Len, anything else you want to add here on week 8 or wrestling?
That's it. I'm good, buddy. We got to get home for the old Halloween Havoc, brother.
Yep, it's spooky season, night one of Halloween Havoc. Let's get at it, Len. Good luck, everyone, in week 8. Check out the Stairway. Check out the Fantasy Funkhouse later this week, too. We'll see you all back here in week 9. For Lenny, this is Mr. Just Right. Champs are out. For the next hour, and tell these other whack podcasts to hit the showers. We the best, numero uno, we like the sumo.